Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience, and welcome to Carpe Diem,
Wise,
Living with
Capital,
the King and Willis Victory. How's our listening audience doing today? We're excited to bring you a new show with a new theme that we are know that our listening audience is guaranteed to love because it appeals and resonates with everyone who is seeking to find fulfillment. This is a talk show that discusses how living with intent and living according to the mantra of Carpe Diem brings fulfillment in your life in the following areas: life, culture, business, finances, entertainment, spirituality, and relationships. I'm your host, King, and I'm joined by my co-host, Willis Victory. How you doing today, Willis?
I'm doing great, Mr. King. How are you, sir?
It's a fabulous day, you know, and I'm looking forward to today's show because I know that it's going to touch on a lot of the issues, and I would say concerns that people are really facing right now as far as how to make that transition to finding things that bring them fulfillment in their lives as opposed to just work-related activities.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I know this being our first show, we got a pretty much exciting show planned, and we have a very interesting guest to bring on our first show. So Willis, why don't you introduce our guest to our listening audience?
Absolutely. I'll be introducing Ms. Amber Washington. Ms. Amber Washington is the Vice President of Amvic Entertainment and also the President of AWE Enterprises. Amber Washington is a native of Chicago, Illinois, and alumni of Columbia College, Chicago. She received her bachelor's degree in motion picture producing and cinematography. In her early career, Amber was both a hip-hop artist with a group called Mrs. Two and The Crew, a choreographer for other artists for performances, including a TV show in Chicago called House Countdown, and did numerous music videos and traveled doing theater choreo as well with a theater play called Beauty Shop 3. Amber has a number of films to her credits as well, which include Soul Ties, Come On, Into the Woods, The Hustle, Red Drum, Blast On, Sunset, and Faithless. In addition, Amber acted as director of photography for Faithless, which was acquired by Bruder Releasing and was available on iFilms for 1 year. Other films in which Amber served as a cinematographer, director, and or producer includes Method, which she was a director and producer, J-Pow, she was a director of photography, Create and Destroy, she was a director of photography and also a producer, Gone for Good, she was a producer and cinematographer. Unyielding Ties, she was director of photography. Tina, she was a cinematographer, producer. Bedtime, she was also a cinematographer. Stardom, she was a cinematographer. American Like, cinematographer. Why Me, cinematographer. A Surfer's Life, documentary. Stepping from Chicago to Miami was also a documentary which Amber filmed, directed, and acted in. As of now, 2014, Amber has embarked on working with the 4th African Oscars Award Show. Amber is currently in pre-production as well with Jake Stevens, The Last Protector, The Jersey 4, and her first stage play as a producer titled The Little Black Dress. After being involved in Ground Roots producing and distribution, Amber understood the importance of marketing. She moved to Los Angeles and joined eCamp Incorporated, an entertainment-based advertising, marketing, and promotion agency with clients ranging from Disney, Lionsgate, and Columbia, TriStar to Lotus Cars and JVC. In this role, she became involved with marketing on the level of creative designs, print, and has yielded national radio promotions and radio buys. Be prepared to enjoy the works of a new age, where in the near future, there are many projects that are on the way. Amber is excited about her skills in producing thought-provoking products and new genre-inspired stories and products that continue to allow the independent voice to be heard. The best is yet to come for Miss Amber. I would like to introduce to our audience Miss Amber Washington. How are you, Miss Amber, today?
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday, and thank you all for having me.
Welcome to the show, Amber.
I'm very well today. Thank you for such a glorious introduction. And I'm all yours.
Okay.
I'll let Mr. King ask you a few questions, and definitely we're very happy to have you today. And we welcome you as a guest. We know you'll be reoccurring, and also I just want to say personally, it's been a pleasure working with you on many things outside of the entertainment industry, as well as some entertainment projects that we've embarked upon. So I thank you for joining us, and I'll let Mr. King take us from there.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we get started with the questions, Willis, why don't we explain to our listening audience what's the name, where the name of our show concept comes from? Because it's a combination of both of our philosophies. And so I'll let you define what Carpe Diem is, and then I'll define the latter part.
Okay. Carpe Diem, as we all know, is seizing a moment, living in a moment, and defining what that moment is. And in breaking down Carpe Diem, a lot of people can use it for simple living. And what we like to do in conscious capitalism, we like to maximize a moment just to produce what we would like to see into our future, and also what we would like to see within that moment and how that moment leads us into our future and our future decisions and possibilities and things that we'd like to embark upon. And also, Carpe Diem goes into a whole different form of understanding what your presence is in the spirit of a moment, which is very important to anything that we're doing in life and business and entertainment. Ms. Amber, she'll elaborate on that much further. And just knowing how to maximize a moment and being alive within that moment and not distracted with what's going on in the past or even the result of what you're doing in that moment, just being completely alive and attached to that moment. And I'll let you go on from there, Mr. King.
Yes.
Hello.
And I'm back.
Okay, very good. I thought, I wasn't sure if we were still, you know, on. Are you there, Willis?
I'm here, yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Mr. King, I think that Willis had given you the floor. I don't know if maybe I missed it when we were blocked or not.
Well, yes, and I'm sorry about that. What I wanted to say before we got to the questioning was I wanted to define living with intent. And living with intent is really approaching your life with the fact that you being a principle-centered individual, you have discovered what your purpose is in life, and that you live every day with intent of implementing and executing that purpose. And so the theme of our show is Carpe Diem, which is seizing the moment and then living with intent. And so that, in other words, it's a way of living life to the fullest. And I'm excited to have you on our show, Amber, because I know that you are an example of a person who is doing just that. And so the questions that we're going to talk about, and given the show's title, help set the context for our questions that we're going to have. So without any further ado, I'd like to ask our first question, which is, what is your purpose? What do you look at as being your purpose in life?
Thank you for asking that question. My purpose in my life is ultimately to be happy, and what drives my happiness are my children. I have two children who I absolutely adore, and basically staying true to myself and the people who see me on an external level. A lot of people, they don't have anybody to look up to, and growing up, you know, you say, well, who do I want to be like? You know, you look around, who do I want to emulate? Who do I want to be like? And for what my goals were in my future, you know, I didn't have that in a sense where career-wise, you know, we've all grown up in the church. We've all, you know, we do our daily routines. We go to school. We want to be teachers. But, you know, after living my life, I've realized after having children, my purpose in life are my kids. And as far as an example, I just have to achieve what I tell them to do. If I tell them to do something, I need to be that example for them.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's...
Okay. And, you know, Willis, when he's reading your bio, I was listening to your extensive background experiences related to the entertainment industry, and I know he gave you several different credits as being a cinematographer in movies and things of that nature. And I know that from my exposure to the entertainment business, that the entertainment business can be a very challenging place to do business in, a very cutthroat place, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of negative energy. And so within that regard, what are your core principles that help you govern your life to help you deal and have survived in this entertainment industry for as long as you have and for you to have been as successful as you've been in it?
Oh, you know what? That question, I was just thrown back by that. There's a couple of questions that you guys are going to ask me that I was, whoa. First, I want to say this. I'm a woman. That's the first thing. The second thing that happened when I was in college, one of my professors, they told me, you're not going to be hired to be a cinematographer. He told me I had to be a production assistant. And basically, I was taking a class for no reason. And that was my motivation to say, I'm going to prove you wrong. And so when I got out there, I would go on movie sets, and, of course, I was doing script supervising. I was PAing. But it's all mental, Mr. King, because when I was on set, I was a PA when I first started, a production assistant. And I was in the alley, and I looked over on the set, and I saw the camera, and I saw the lights, and I saw everything happening, but I was nowhere on the set. And I said, I need to be right there. And I mentally pictured myself where the director was, behind the camera. I said, I need to be right next to that director. And it literally, not even 20 minutes later, they came over to me. They said, Amber, we need you to come over here and script supervise. Have you ever script supervised before? And I said, no. They said, don't worry, we'll show you. And it's really mental. You know, you have to make a decision. And as far that's how I governed my life. I made decisions. Once you decide, it will be.
I love that. Can you repeat that one more time? I think that's a very profound statement.
Once you decide, it will be.
I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, you just have to make a decision. on what you're doing with yourself, where you're going. And once you make a decision, stick to it. You have to believe in the decision that you're making. You can't. You may ask, can I do this, can I do this? But when you make a decision, you know when you made up your mind. You don't have to ask. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You tell
yourself,
this is what I need. This is what I'm going to do. I have to do this before I do this, or I'm going to do this even before that happens. Whatever it is, you just have to make a decision.
Yes.
So that's how I made it this far. I decided. That's how I made it.
Wow. Now, you know, that's a very, again, I like to reiterate that I love that statement of just making a decision, because a lot of folks really don't realize how simple it is, but making a decision itself is a simple act, but following through on a decision is something else that takes a different level of commitment and discipline. And that, which leads me to my next question, which is, to follow through on a decision takes a more of a committed, purposeful, intentional set of actions that I have learned through my life only come through when a person has a set of daily habits and rituals that they go through to keep themselves focused. And so would you be willing to share with our listening audience some of the daily habits and rituals that you go through to kind of keep yourself continually making positive, focused decisions?
You know, I'd be more than happy to. I want to kind of repeat the first thing that you asked me. You said, what is your purpose in life? And I said, my children. When I wake up in the morning, I'm emotional about them. When I wake up in the morning, you both probably have kids. So there's a ritual that you go through every day when you have kids. You wake up, you get them dressed, and you take them to school. They come home, you make dinner. That's the ritual that's done. That's the ground. That is the concrete of your life.
Absolutely.
So I take that. I know what I have to do. And I know after I've made a decision I need to do something, I say I got this much time to do this. I begin to create a schedule. The same as that ritual that is a must, I implant that must after I've made a decision, and I incorporate that into my daily activity. So in regards to the question, the habits and daily rituals, I keep in my head, because really I don't have enough time. You know, when you got your kids, you don't have that much time. And so I'm like, I got to do all these things before this time. So I actually end up accomplishing more than what I would if I wasn't doing what I was doing, because I'm trying to hurry up and squeeze everything in before I got to pick them up, squeeze everything in before I got to help them with the homework and cook dinner. I know I got to wash dishes, so I got to squeeze about five other things in. So it's just, you know, like I said, you have to make a decision. And the ritual that turned into the habit, now my kids are big. And honestly, they actually made me stronger. Some people are like, oh, you don't want kids because it's too much work. Oh, you don't want it. They will set you straight. They will help you get your life in order and take care of yours. So that's why, I mean, my purpose is them, you know. That's the number one. That number three, the daily rituals and habits in life that I practice to keep me focused, I can give that to my kids, you know.
Okay.
Focus. So it ties in together.
You know, when you talk about your kids, I hear so much passion in your voice, and I definitely respect that, and I admire that. And as we kind of shift focus for a moment, I kind of want to talk about some of your business endeavors that you've been involved in. And I know that you're the president of AmVic Entertainment and AWE Enterprises. So can you talk a little bit about what those companies, what's the mission and focus and purpose of those companies?
AmVic Entertainment is with Tia Shira Hobson and Victor Hobson. He was a football player, and she is a book writer. And we came together a few years ago to create AmVic Entertainment, Amber Victor, but we created it. We switched it to I Am Victorious. So, you know, we made it more, you know, mentally motivating. Position in that company, I made one of the most expensive films working with them. The last film I did with them was Soul Ties, and that movie was like $7 million. It was definitely a ladder for me because I had never that kind of money on a motion picture before. And so just to see the challenges and so forth with that process and dealing with that kind of money, you know, I'm prepared for the next level. So my whole mission in that company, you know, the more money you got, the more responsibility you got, the more, it's just the more. Everything else
right.
that comes with it. And our enterprises is my personal company, in this sense, for Amber Washington Entertainment Enterprises. It's more on an individual level where when I stray off, you know, this is the company that I go under, All Enterprises. So any films that I do outside of AMVIC, that's the name you'll see. If I do it with AMVIC, it's going to be AMVIC Entertainment. And, that's in reference to those two companies. Awe is, I actually have to create another company because I want there to be a investment group type corporation, and I'm talking right now to solidify that. If I needed to go under off, I need to start another company. I'm trying to figure that one out now. But those two companies are production companies, R Enterprises and AMVIC.
Okay. All right. Now, how do you see the world being different? And this is a very, I would say, important question to our conscious capitalists who are listening. And the conscious capitalist mantra, a mindset that we adopt, is that we create companies that have a purpose to solve a problem or to create a greater value in the world. And so we envision the world being different after we create our companies. And so now that you define your two companies, AMVIC Entertainment and AWE Enterprises, how do you see the world being different now that these companies exist?
Our enterprises, I have more control over. There's not too many partners in it. And in regards to the world being different, there's a sense of freedom with our enterprises and financial capabilities and possibilities. So with awe, I feel like the hawk with awe. I feel like nothing can stop awe. Because there's, you know, I have more leverage. Awe does live shows. Awe does motion picture. Awe is the spectrum on the international level for entertainment, and AMVIC is basically film.
Okay.
So as far as being on a capitalist level, like I said, there's just more freedom with Awe. I can bring in any amounts of monies to Awe. I can. It's more flexibility. So that's the difference, and that's how the world is different for me with Awe.
Okay.
But with AMVIC, AMVIC is a little bit more, you know, sit around a table type deal. Mm-hmm. Let's make decisions together. What are we going to do next? You know, so the world is different in a sense where it's like a porthole for opportunities, actually, for both companies. And I would encourage anyone who does not have a company to start one because, you know, it's more ways for them to be able to keep more money in their pocket and have write-offs depending on the amount of money that they actually spend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now tell us about, I mean, you've been involved with so many different, you know, listen to your bio. I see that you've been involved with so many different aspects of the entertainment business and very diverse type of events and activities as well, such as the African Oscar Award Show. Can you talk a little about what the African Oscars Award Show is and how did you get involved with that?
Oh, wow. Yes, the African Oscars. The African Oscars is an award show that was created by Victor Alatoya, who is from Africa. And it's like the Oscars for black motion pictures, and we honor black humanitarians or African-Americans who have contributed an enormous amount of to our community. And so, of course, we know when we watch the Oscars, there's not very many of us there. We're not really honored the way we believe we should be honored. And so this, the way I got involved with the African Oscars was through a gentleman by the name of Norbert Brown Jr. and Tina Weisinger. And we were at lunch at the Cheesecake Factory, and they were like, "Amber, we need some help. Why don't you come on and produce the show with us?" And I was like, "Whew." At first, I was very hesitant because I already had other projects that I was looking for funding. And I made the decision by the time I got home that night, and I was like, it's a very important place to be. It's a very important position, and I can make a difference.
Mm.
And last year was the fourth year. This year will be the fifth, and it's going to be in Los Angeles, September, the second week of September. And it's very prestigious award show, very glamorous. We've had some of the highest people who are African-American across the globe who flew in for the show and were a part of it. And it was like I've never seen so many beautiful black people in one spot in my life. Mm. And and they were all politicians, artists, and they were just black and beautiful, you know. Actors, Pharrell and Jamie Foxx walked in, and they were just like, oof. Like, you know, they were digging the scene, and hopefully we can get one of them to host this year, you know, depending on how much finances come in. But, you know, it was truly an experience, and I'm really looking forward to this year, very much so. I encourage everyone who is African-American to come and pay homage to the artists that exist within our communities here in Los Angeles.
Definitely, definitely. We definitely want to get the word spread about that as well and support you in any way we can. Is there a website or any information you can give us, our listening audience, on the African Oscars award show?
For this year, the website is not built as of yet, but it is being built. But I can definitely direct, maybe I can give it to you to put on the website for this show. It's NAFCA African Oscars. It's NAFCA, NAFCA, It's Hollywood, you know. Now, I'll make sure I give you the link so that you can have the proper information so that if viewers want to just click on it and go visit the website, they're more than welcome. Now that the award shows, I can't leave out the rest of them. I am also producing March 15th along with the California team, which is Tina Weisinger, Norbert Brown Jr., and Rick Stevens out of Atlanta, and Dr. Scott from One Stop Productions. We're all producing the Chicago Music Awards March 15th at the Copernicus Theater, and that in itself is going to be an amazing show. There's so many amazing artists that come out of Chicago. We're honoring people, whether, you know, as far as the contributions they made to the Chicagoland area, like Commons people. They gave more than 20,000 jobs to the Chicago youth, you know, and the theme is pretty much stop the violence because there's so much killings being done in Chicago. And that's an emotional journey in itself. I'm very proud of that show.
Okay.
And there's going to be quite a few honorees, and the actual voting process is going to start like within the next week or two. So I'll make sure I give the link for that website as well.
Definitely.
And third but not least is the NAACP Music Awards. It'll be the very first one. And, again, it's going to be with the same team. We're speaking to quite a few A-listers right now to be involved just to honor. But we've got some confirmations that I can't say right now because, you know, paperwork is still being done, even though there's been a verbal agreement, commitment.
Understood.
But, yeah, it's going to be November here in Los Angeles. Yes.
Okay. Sounds like you have some pretty exciting things going on. And like I said, I can hear the passion and enthusiasm in your voice and that you love what you do. And I think that's a very important thing. As conscious capitalists, we always talk about discovering your purpose in life and then living your purpose, and then you are forever going to be living a life of fulfillment and enjoyment. And with that being said, now, kind of taking a step back again from your professional career and just kind of really getting at the core of who you are. Now, I know you come from Chicago. I myself is Midwest as well. So how would you say that growing up in Chicago helped prepare you to become the person that you are today, able to manage multiple projects and navigate your way through Hollywood and just live the life that you are living right now?
Wow. First of all, I want to say there's definitely a difference between living in Chicago and L.A. I'm in Los Angeles right now, but the work ethic from the people that come from the Midwest off the top is amazing. And it's never occurred to me, like, after I got out here, nothing could happen fast enough because everybody's so lackadaisical. I'm like, why do you have so much? I'm like, what do you mean you get in at 10 or 12? I need to talk to you at 8, you know? So I think that I want to say the accessibility and being able to physically touch things in Chicago and have access to things. If I look for them, I can go to them. And I think that's something that I've taken for granted is how easy it is to get around in the Midwest, number one. I didn't have to wait for anything or anybody because you can go if I need to go down to the film office, if I need to go to school, if I needed to go see a show, if I needed anything. Everything was at my fingertips. So I didn't really waste time. I was ready. No, this is right here. Let me go do this. This is here. Let me do this. And the transportation is easy. You can jump on a bus. You can get on an L. Just having things accessible. And I have to say that because I think that the fact that I could just get up and do it kind of helped me motivate myself. And I said to myself, there's no reason why I shouldn't do this because all I have to do is get up and go right down the street and get this, or, you know, everything was accessible. And so, like, out here in Los Angeles, you have to have a car. You're on somebody else's schedule. You have to wait for a return call. And so I think that the way Chicago has played a part for me, is Chicago is very rich in culture, very, very rich in culture. It's very motivating. It's the lights. I'm sure you heard the Alicia Keys song, the New York lights, New York.
Yes.
That's the way I feel about Chicago. The lights is energy. And there's a pulse there. And even Columbia College, I give a lot of credit to Columbia because with the things that I wanted to do, like the cameras, video cameras, motion picture. I want to back up. I know how to shoot motion picture film on a motion picture camera, and I know how to shoot digital video. So these elements were made available. So I had the opportunity to do it, and it was made aware to me, oh, you can go get these lights. You can keep them for 2 weeks. So I want to say accessibility is the thing that helped motivate me, just having those things. You know, like right now, even I want to back up even to today. The only thing now is the difference is I need money to do what I used to do.
Okay.
So that's basically the difference now. It's taken me a little longer to achieve some things because you got to raise the money to get the same thing that I used to have at my fingertips.
Mm. That was my
money. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
I understand that. And just, you know, just let our listening audience know that our actual Conscious Capitalism Annual Conference this year is going to be held in Chicago on actually April 7th through April 9th. And so as we talk about Chicago, we come back to that Midwest, we definitely get a chance, we're going to get an opportunity to experience those lights and that rhythm and that culture you talked about. So we're definitely looking forward to it. So thank you for kind of setting that tone and that context for our listening audience as well.
Mm-hmm. Get around, people. Getting
exactly.
around when you get to Chicago. You can get anywhere you want.
Exactly. Just a couple more questions. Now,
okay.
As we heard from your bio and from you as well, you obviously wear several different hats within the entertainment industry, from cinematographer to producer, scriptwriter, and so, and many more. What would you say, which one provides you with the most fulfillment, that you feel the most passionate about and that you look forward to doing when they kind of get you out of bed?
I can't wait to get back behind the camera and shoot. The thing is, I want to make very much aware that this is a business, you know. So I have to do all the what you got to do before I get to, okay, I want to do this. I got to
okay.
do all the happy. So I really miss the camera. I really miss the camera and shooting and composing. And I want to back up in my bio, Willis read that I was a choreographer. And believe it or not, dancing and shooting is kind of the same thing, because it's a lot about composition, framing, and so forth. And I feel like when I'm shooting and lighting, it's the same as dancing.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. I never heard those two put together like that, but when you begin to talk about how the similarities, I can see that. Even though I don't have a choreographer background, but I've done some, I would say, amateur work behind the camera. So I can respect what you're saying in that context. Now, you alluded to this earlier when you mentioned about working in the entertainment industry as a black woman. And so I wanted to ask you, what are some of the challenges that you have faced, or maybe that you are currently facing, that you want to share with us as being a black woman in the entertainment industry for those of our listening audience who are black women and may be interested in getting more into the entertainment business?
Well, I can't help but smile when you say that, because it's funny to me. Being a producer, I don't know if a lot of people know what producer is, so let me just say what that is very quickly so that they can have an understanding of what my job description is. Being a producer, I write the checks, I hire, I fire, I make sure everything is going smoothly on the set, you know, follow things through from the seed process, the writing, creative, choosing talent, and getting the product distributed and getting funds redistributed to people who need them. And a lot of times on the set or when I'm in meetings with men in the entertainment business, these men in film, I don't know what, I'm going to be careful, but, you know, everybody got big balls. They don't want to be told what to do.
Mm.
And so they like to challenge me a lot because I am a woman. And so they don't believe what I tell them until I say, you can go now. I'm done. And I walk away. So they forget who the boss is because I am a woman. So the challenge is, for me, men wanting to maintain their balls and everybody want to do your job and their job, is just reminding them of who I am and that I'm the one that's writing your check. I need you to do what I ask you to do. So it's just keeping people in place. And it's not people, it's men. It's very men-driven. There's so many men. There's men DPs. There's men ADs. There's men who are doing grip work. There's men. It's very male-heavy. Men doing the sound. And like I said, you know, everybody knows everything. You can't tell them nothing. Everybody knows everything. Mm. Can you turn this on? It's going over the, you know, the brackets or whatever. It's too loud. you can't tell them nothing. So it's just reminding them who I am. The challenge is everybody knows everything. So each person, as much as the same it is, each individual situation is different. As much as the same it is, but it runs its gamut.
I can
just
remind
you. Yeah, and especially, excuse my French, white male and both black male, because even on the set, the black male got something to prove to the white male.
Mm.
So I got double things going on. I'm like, you don't have to prove anything to him. He's not writing your check. Can I talk to you? I need you to do this, da, da, da. So they're trying to prove, you know, something to each other.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to, it's like a circus.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world because I love what I do.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, I have to remind people and bring them back home, kind of reel them back in, like, hey, hold on, wait a minute. You know, stay focused. It's just everybody wants to be the boss. They think they know everything because it's an intimidating hobby or work level. It's, imagine you're dealing with these cameras with these big lenses. Everybody wants to feel like they know what they're doing.
Mm.
And if somebody's wrong, they cut each other like you've never seen before. I mean, it's just amazing. But that's the challenge. It's just male heavy. That's the challenge, male heavy, and even the black men just trying to prove themselves to the white people and prove they can do the job, you know. And I'm always constantly, most actors are very, they're like, it's almost like you got to babysit actors. And really, you really almost got to babysit the crew, too.
Okay.
It's almost the same, you know, except it's really the same, you know, and everybody, how much you're getting paid, and it's just, you know, it's a job in itself. It's definitely a job.
Mm. You know, and Willis and I talked about this, is that, you know, coming and being raised by, you know, a black woman predominantly as a major parent in the household, I find it hard not to be able to listen and take directions from a black woman. I've done it all my life. You know, so I've never had that insecurity, and Willis and I've talked about it, same experience. So I think that's one of the things that has looked at the dynamic in the black household where the male father is not usually there, that I'm surprised to hear that more black men have that problem of listening to a woman, where I would think that they should be used to it, much like myself. But I guess it kind of goes down to each individual's own self-esteem and other issues they might be actually dealing with as it relates to that.
Yeah, I've realized, and I say a black woman, but honestly, I think the real challenge is them trying to maintain the respect to their colleague. Does that make sense? So they try to maintain their respect level from the next grip or the next AC, because if they mess up something little, it's a really big deal. So everybody, they have to have a level of confidence, you know. So I sometimes I take it personal and sometimes I don't, just depending on each situation, because I know the arrogant level, you know, that goes into the job. You know, when you're downloading motion picture from a camera, if it's exposed a little bit, you can cost the day of work.
Mm.
So you got a lot on your shoulder.
Mm.
So, you know, I kind of give and take it, you know. I kind of give and take, and I analyze the situation before I make a decision on it and see where I need to go with it. If they're just being downright disrespectful, then kick rocks. You got to go, you know.
Understood. Well, this brings me to my very last question, then I'll allow Willis to ask any questions and take it from there. Is what advice would you give to other women interested in building a career in the entertainment industry as they have to deal with some of the challenges you just spoke of?
my advice. My advice to women who want to be in the entertainment business is to make a decision on where you want to be in that spectrum. That's the first thing. And then realize that it is a business. You know, it's not, I mean, you can do it as a hobby if you want to, but realize it's a business and, you know, do your research. For the most part, I would encourage people to see beyond pretty much the surface, which is when they're looking on TV, the dancer, the singer, the actress, you know, it's so much more deeper than just being those things that you see on the television. The things that you don't see are just as lucrative, if not even more, than the person that you see standing in front.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, taking the time to answer my questions of being on our show. I believe you've brought a ton of insight, passion, and more importantly, experience as you talk about what you've done in your life and just the work, your body of work. So, again, I'd like to thank you for being on the Carpe Diem, Living with Intent with King and Victory.
Great. Thank you guys for having me, and I look forward to being back on the show in the future.
Thank you so much, Amber. I wanted to just extend one more question to you, Amber, just in regards to the business aspect and also just you maintaining yourself in Los Angeles, coming from Chicago, myself coming from the Midwest. Just how hard has that been for you? And can you just explain some of the ups and downs and actually what it takes to, you know, not just survive out here, but thrive and doing it with impeccable integrity and sort of not giving in to what the industry status quo is and then kind of changing yourself for different opportunities regarding money or film opportunities, you being an actress as well, just the many different things that are offered to you outside of your character that you have to navigate through.
Well, for sure. I mean, I don't want to get it twisted. I've been offered definitely opportunities and other ways to make money that I chose not to go. And it just depends on, you know, how desperate a person is. I don't judge anybody in that respect. As people got to do what they got to do to live. It has not been easy. I was even homeless at some point. So I've had ups and downs. I've gone from homeless to living in a 4,000-square-foot house. You know, there's been ups and downs. I think the one thing about me is that I stay focused, and I haven't lost direction, and it's been because I've been consistent in what I've been doing. Up until last year, or maybe even the year before, I was making a movie every year. I was either in pre-production, going into production, or in production. I always had the next film lined up. And, of course, the films that cost more, I put more in the latter bracket. And the ones that I was like, okay, this is do or die. We can do this for X amount of dollars. Let's do it. What was important for me was to make sure that I was actually filming. So I made a choice. I'm like, okay, we'll do this movie. Whether or not I was working, somehow it's really been by the grace of God. And I don't know why I'm so strong mentally, but I take things and I embrace my situation and I push from there. But you have to plan. I made a plan and then I followed the plan. And so whether or not I had ups or downs with the plan, I still had a goal that I needed to reach.
Absolutely.
So that is what made me stay steadfast. With consistency, I made a plan.
Absolutely. I want to interject there. We're speaking of the plan and sticking to that. That's the thing that I wanted you to really hit on, and you did it by yourself, was without that, you're not going to be able to stay anywhere and stand anything, especially in an up and down industry. Sticking to the dream and executing what it is that you came for, never forgetting that. And I want you to elaborate about just some of the capitalistic failures that you may have in the environment, and also how difficult it is to, you know, raise and make $7 million just to kind of withstand the industry and do different things with that side of it.
Wow, that was good. I want to say this, every single day I am made a promise. I promise you right now, I'm expecting something every day from financial. Literally, I will not lie. And I have ran the gamut from being a broker, selling gold, diamonds, fuel, any commodity that you can think of, banking instruments. I think that running the commodity road has been a little bit more promising for me, but the ups and downs that I have with it is I've had people like tell me, Amber, give me your bank account. I'm putting the money in there. Give me 2 hours, and I wouldn't hear from them for another week. I mean, it's gotten every day I'm being promised something. I never say no to anything, and I just ride it out whether or not it goes, because you never know. It might just be that one person that's telling you yes. And mind you, you only need one yes. You don't need a bunch of people, but you don't know which one is actually going to come through. And so as far as finances, I've worked, I've done this, but most of the movies that I've done, I have raised it from personal people that I've known, friends, family, associates, and everyone has been paid their finances back, thank God, from all the movies that I've done. Right now, I'm looking to raise X amount of dollars. These films are more elaborate and more science, more on a scientific level and special effects. So I'm looking more into like 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, up to 100 million per film with these projected motion pictures. Again, by playing around and doing research on a financial level, I've discovered some of the ways it would be more efficient for me to raise finances rather than going to each friend. But once you ask somebody for a favor, you owe them for life. So just be careful who you ask for finances from and what promises you make. But whatever promises you make, make sure you honor that, because your word is all you got.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, King.
Now, Willis, did you have any questions or comments as it relates to just kind of the overall theme of the show as far as how you are living or your perspective on living your life according to Carpe Diem?
Well, I'll just take it from where Amber left off. I'm very well aware of her work ethic and a lot of her projects and in work that she may not even know that I've dug into, and people that do know her as well. And going off what she said is very important to, you know, stick to a plan. And in order to do that, you have to focus on a moment and a lot of the ups and downs, and I've had them as well. If you're not paying attention to why you came for something and what it is that you're there for, your dreams, your goals, and what Miss Amber said, you know, regarding, you know, her passion and her purpose and what she feels good about, if she couldn't focus on those things within the moment, those things can drive you insane. Because she was able to do that, she was able to gain spiritual toughness and evolution that most will not. You know, being homeless is not a joke. I've been there myself, and when you have the dream, you're able to kind of pull that out. I don't know too many successful people that are ultimately successful. When I say ultimately successful, which is means a success that will never leave, that hasn't seen those ups and downs, and there's only few that can stomach those. You hear those stories all the time, and unfortunately, but fortunately, you hear them in Hollywood, especially people coming from the outside transitioning into Hollywood and entertainment and big levels of business. You hear that a lot, and it's almost a prerequisite. So I just want to go off of what Amber was saying regarding, you know, her passion and her focus, especially to young ladies in the business. It's very difficult, and without knowing what your goal is, you can compromise a lot. And, you know, in life, to get where you have to go is just a no-compromise kind of a zone. So I just wanted to take it from where Amber had left off and just sticking to something and staying in the moment and being alive in that moment, which, you know, allows you to kind of minimize your distractions and keeping different energy and people out of whatever you're doing. And I want Ms. Amber to kind of elaborate one more time, one more question, just regarding the different circles of people and in energy and how important it is to keep a not just a tight circle, but a circle that kind of includes you evolving in a positive manner and actually reaching your goals and dreams and ambitions, and the kind of energies that can kind of drag you down out here, and how difficult it is to see those things. And maybe she can give some advice, especially to the young ladies, you know, just regarding the different pitfalls of people and manipulations and different things that can happen, you know, and they all come with a promise, as she mentioned, and a smile and a lot of different things. But she's been able to see through a lot of that, and maybe she could give some advice regarding that as well.
I say give everybody a chance one time, two times, but after three times I think enough is enough. And I would say, I only say that because life happens, things happen. So you give somebody a chance, ugh, it didn't go through, try it again. I give anybody three chances, but you have to actually surround your people who you see are getting results. If you don't see a person producing anything, then you walk away from that person. If they are stagnant, they haven't moved, and there's no progress in their life on any level, you know, that's not the person who can help you move in anything that it is that you want to do. I don't care if it's going to the store. If that person says, I'm going to the store, and it's been a week, and they've been saying it since Monday, don't count on that person for nothing, you know.
Mm.
So my word as far as surrounding yourself around the people who will give you results, if you see them, the results don't even have to be towards you. If you just see them producing something that is consistent, consistency is important, focus,
absolutely,
and then you'll get results. And, you know, you'll see that. I mean, they're easy
absolutely
to point out.
I agree 100%. Absolutely, to go off what you said, Amber, King and I,
mm-hmm,
we established a relationship off of results. And what I asked him to do was, you know, not observe who you may have heard I am or whatever you've seen. Let's just get some results and build a relationship from there and keep an impeccable accountability for our word. And that's kind of how we embarked on different ventures and, you know, it expanded a network and a trust. So
mm-hmm,
I want to commend you for that, and it's very important, and thank you for actually saying that.
Well, I thank you for hanging around because I saw your consistency, so I was like, I kept poking at you, so.
Absolutely. King can attest to this. We'll go into the last part of our segment, but he can attest to this. I've built relationships, and I've kept them for a long period of time, and they've been successful and result-yielding. And it's taken me about 12 to 16 months each individual relationship, and I think that you and I can actually account for that as well. I know King can validate that statement before anything kind of serious happened, and we began to take each other serious and understand where each other stood and how serious we were about each individual thing that we're doing. I think it's important to get a chance to learn how serious people are because our time's very important. And I know you can agree with that as well. And you don't want to waste your time on people that aren't getting results. And unfortunately, sometime at the beginning of a relationship, everyone looks the same to you, especially when you have different things coming to you every day. And I know you can attest to this, Amber, and different people coming to you all the time. You never know who is who, and you have to kind of let life sort them out. And you also have to give them some thought outside of phone calls and do your own due diligence and want to know who they are in order to do business with them and let them into your circle and what you're doing in life as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I concur that 100% in the context that, as well as alluded to, that, you know, my business being King Connections, relationships are the crux of my business in the context of how I go about establishing them, maintaining them, bringing them value, and then at some point leveraging those relationships as well to go and do some greater things that we couldn't do individually. And so I love the advice you gave, because I think most people have a difficult time discerning who to form a relationship with, and more importantly, how to invest properly in that relationship. And I don't mean just invest monetarily. I mean invest time-wise and invest listening. You know, sometimes folks just need to have someone that they can listen, they will listen to what they have to say without saying anything. I think that's extremely important. And, you know, I remember reading a book that Stephen R. Covey had, in his book, I'm sorry, Stephen R. Covey talked about the fact that we all were taught to communicate verbally. You know, but what we don't get taught in school is how to listen. And so that's something we had to learn through trial and error on our own. And as you learn how to listen and listen effectively, I think that's what kind of really helps you to grow and attract the right folks in your life and build successful, sustainable relationships.
Yeah, I also want to, I want to add something to what you're saying, Mr. King, and that is not only listen, but just be visual, look, and listen, you know, because everything you hear is not always true as far as listening, but just also pay attention, like visually, and watch behavior patterns, you know, and that goes hand in hand with listening, actually, you know, but definitely agree with that.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I want to share with you all, a quote that I believe that Harriet Tubman, since this is Black History Month, even though for me, I tell folks that every day for me is Black History Day. You know, I don't just wait till February to look at our history and our culture. I read about our ancestors daily because it gives me inspiration and it also keeps me found, keeps me grounded. But she said that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces faith, and faith in the end will not let you down. So as you and Willis both talked about sleeping in your car, you know, and having to go through those things, those sacrifices, it helps to produce your character and who you are today and how you are running your lives and managing your businesses and managing the relationships that you go about maintaining. It's all about the sacrifices you've made and how that has helped you become the person that you are today. So I just wanted to add that little tidbit because I think that's very important that people realize that whatever you may be going through right now is only temporary. There is no permanent existence in whatever a person's dealing with. It's just a matter of changing your mindset, and that's what this show is really all about. It's about understanding how you got to look at where you are in your life right now. If you're not happy, you got to focus on the right now, you know, because we can't be afraid of the future. You know, we got to be focused on the right now. And as long as we're doing that and we're living in the moment, then we're going to have successful lives. And I know that's a challenge for most people, but I think that's where we got to get back to. And that's really what the premise of the show is about, helping people understand that and having individuals like yourself on the show that can attest to how you're living the life you want to live. I mean, you talk about being involved with the NAACP Awards, the African Awards, creating the African Awards show. All those are huge projects that require a lot of, obviously, competence, skill, intelligence, and talent in your particular area of expertise. But more importantly, the fact that you had the faith to persevere through the challenges that you've had in your life is a testament to the person you are today. So, again, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, listening to you, and I definitely look forward to continuing to grow our relationship and coming and being a part of the African Awards in the future.
Oh, we would love to have you. Love to have both you and Willis. So you
Thank
all,
you so much, Amber.
You can consider yourselves presenters.
We appreciate it.
Yes,
we'll definitely
do.
Be there.
Absolutely.
So, Willis, do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with our listening audience?
No, I don't. I really appreciate yourself. Amber, thank you so much. You've been very enlightening. I love your passion, and there's a lot to learn from you, and I know our listeners as well. They're definitely going to pick up something from you, and we look forward to working with you further, collaborating with you, and having you as a spokesman and guest in the near future. And thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
And for our listening audience, thank you for listening to Carpe Diem and Living with Intent. And so for those of you all, continue to have a glorious day. And to quote Miss Amber Washington, continue to have your fabulous Monday. And we look forward to connecting with you all next Monday, same time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you want more information about our show, please visit our website at kingconnectme.com. That's KingConnectMe.com. I'm your host, King, and for my co-host, Willis, and our guest, Ms. Amber Washington, everyone continue to have a glorious time and enjoy your life to the fullest. Thank you.